Episode of Ball Boy Talk, the Unhinged Sports Podcast. I'm Jay. One of my side things I like to do is beat right for the Tri-City Dust Devils here in the great state of Washington. The Dust Devils are the high A affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels. And I am joined by one of last year's draft picks, Mr. Joe Redfield, an outfielder from Sam Houston State University, previously from Temple. Joe was drafted in the first round of the first year player draft last summer. Joe, you signed for just under the recommended slot value for your pick, for $472,500 of the recommended value of $603,600. And you're from the great state of Texas, more specifically Waco, according to your baseball reference page. In two seasons, you played at Temple College. You played in a total of 88 games there, registering 273 at-bats, scoring 72 runs, totaling 101 hits, 17 doubles, 5 triples, 5 home runs. As a sophomore specifically, you had 61 of those RBIs, a 28 walk to 37 strikeout ratio, 25 stolen bases, and a 370, 448, 524 slash line. You ended your career there at Temple with a 970 fielding percentage with only 4 errors that all came as a freshman. So your sophomore season, you were locked down out there in the outfield, which reigns true into your pro career even today. After your second season, you played some summer ball for the Victoria Harbor Cats in Victoria, BC, part of the West Coast League. I have that you played in 46 games there. You hit 4 home runs, 33 RBIs, 27 stolen bases, 22 walks to 26 Ks. So there's a very common theme with you right there with the walks, the strikeout. And your slash line for them that summer was 335, 425, 494 for an OPS of 919. Just crazy, crazy impressive. Then you transferred to Sam Houston State. In your lone season there, you played in 61 games, totaling 300 plate appearances. So you got all the playing time in 2 years into one. So great move on the transfer then. It definitely paid off taking that bet. You had 100 hits, 19 doubles, 3 triples, 15 home runs, 56 RBIs, 15 stolen bases, 34 walks to 34 strikeout for a slash line of 402, 485, 683, and an OPS over 1,000 at 1.168, which to me, I don't understand how you fell to the fourth, but those numbers are wildly impressive, especially the track record in summer ball. Even after that, you were playing for the Falmouth Commodores in over there. You played in 11 games there, so a nice little cup of coffee or two there. Didn't hit any bombs, but you did score 7 RBIs, stole 7 bases, 7 walks to 11 strikeouts. And again, another impressive slash line of 308, 406, 308. So of course, the slugging percentage is going to be down because you're not hitting home runs, but your on-base percentages throughout your collegiate career and summer ball career, nothing short of impressive. Your plate discipline, nothing short of impressive. Your glove in the outfield, again, nothing short of impressive. Seeing you hustle, seeing you and Stewart out there in the outfield, I'm just like, dang, that's a combo right there.
Absolutely, man. I love watching Stu play too, man.
That dude's a beast. I got to talk to him a little bit last year. Before at the beginning of the season, there was the Dust Devils did a new thing. They did their own fan fest. Joe was there. Okay. I got to talk to him a little bit. And he's like, I'm very cold. I did not expect this. Because it's in April in the
Michigan boy. Like he's used to this type of weather.
Yeah. Well, I think he was down at minor league camp in Arizona.
He was, yeah. Yeah.
So he was down in camp, and then he comes up in April, and it's still cold up here, like cold, like 40, 50 degrees cold up here. So that's quite a shot going from minor league camp down there to back up here. So he was a bit shell-shocked, but he's a great guy to talk to. He's a lot of fun. You know, the things that stand out for me as part of your career collegiately, your speed, you're always stealing bases, tons of stolen bases. seeing it in the pros translate. You're not afraid to get out there and run, to hustle. You were only caught stealing four times in your college career and four times total during your summer ball career. So that's crazy impressive. Your defense is next to none. I rate it among the top, at least in the Northwest League itself, possibly within the Angels organization. I rate it very highly among prospects. Your walk to strikeout numbers jump off the page along with your OBP, just because that's a big skill that so many clubs look for, is that plate discipline, not striking out, getting on base, working walks, working the count. So after you were drafted, it was a beautiful storm. They said, hey, okay, you're signed. You're going to go to the ACL, which is the Arizona Complex League for the listeners. You played in a whopping three games there. Just three, you know, nothing crazy. They didn't want to put too much on you. They didn't want to give you too much time. You and Caleb actually played, both only played three games down there in the ACL before getting called up, right?
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Just want to make sure. So you had a total of three hits down there. So your ACL career is pretty prolific. Let me just preface that. Three hits, no home runs, one stolen base, one caught stealing, one walk, one strikeout, and a 633 OPS. You skipped single A inland altogether. You didn't even go that route at all. And you went straight to high A. When I wrote this at the time, you had played in three games already in high A. You had four hits, three RBIs, two stolen bases, a caught stealing, two walks, a strikeout, and a one, a little bit over 1,000 OPS with a 1.053 OPS. So in your first three games or so. So, Joe, take us through that whirlwind. You go from Temple, summer ball, you transfer, you have a great season, play a little bit more summer ball. You're now drafted fourth round, which is major draft capital. If we put it in context of the 2020 shortened draft, like if you're a top five pick for your organization, like you're not nobody. You were a three-year college player, which I like, especially for the Angels needing guys who aren't pitchers, since they went so pitcher heavy previous years up until Zach. I don't know if you've met Zach, talked to Zach Neto at all. But he broke that mold after several years for the organization of being pitcher heavy. They did not miss on Zach. And I think we can both say that they did not miss on him whatsoever.
100%. No.
So being in that draft class, obviously ahead of you, Shanwell was drafted ahead of you. Already debuted last year. So take us through that for you. What was it like to go just whirlwind Texas to Arizona to Washington in a matter of a week and a half?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it all really, like, the whirlwind really started about halfway through my season at Sam Houston, because I was, you know, I was putting up good numbers and I was staying consistent at the plate. And that's when, you know, I kind of started realizing, like, hey, these are numbers that can get me drafted this year. And, you know, like, calls started rolling in from scouts and started working with an advisor and whatnot. And I kind of like just started mentally preparing myself for this, because I knew it was going to be a whirlwind, like you were saying, whenever I got into it. And, you know, my dad actually has professional experience as well with baseball. So he's been a big mentor for me in this, and just kind of almost held my hand, walking me through it, just kind of telling me what to expect and whatnot. So the mental prep started early whenever I started putting up good numbers at Sam Houston. And I kind of had an idea, like, hey, this is probably going to be my draft year if I'm going to go. And so it started off in about halfway through spring. And then, you know, summer rolls around. I still had the idea that I was going to be drafted, and just kind of wanted to get some extra numbers out for some scouts to see. So went up to Cape Cod, played a couple of weeks there with the Commodores, loved it. It was awesome. My host family was great. Ball was great. Everything was great up there. And then went home right before the draft, got drafted. It was like a 3-day turnaround. And then I just got shipped off to Arizona, and instantly started getting to work. They just started grinding on us whenever we got there, just testing us, seeing like how in shape we are and whatnot. And then played like three games after like a post draft mini camp and spring training, or like at our spring training complex. And okay. Yeah, played my three games and got sent up here or sent to Tri-Cities. And that was a whirlwind in itself. And then getting up there, it was awesome. I played those first three games, like you were saying, and ended up getting hurt, sat out about 2 weeks, which was kind of tough just because, you know, your first year in pro ball, you want to stay healthy, put up good numbers, and just kind of like get your introduction in. And that was tough to deal with. And then, you know, the first game back after that, I sat out about 2 weeks from a hamstring injury. First game back, I got hit in the head with fastball and ended up sitting out like another month. Yeah, that was in the Vancouver series. So, yeah, ended up sitting out about another month and then came back and finished the year pretty strong for, you know, my inconsistency with being able to stay healthy.
You definitely had a good stretch run down the stretch there. I mean, all in all things considered, just the fact that you got, my bad, you had a total of 57 at-bats last year in Tri-Cities. You scored 9 runs, 14 hits, 1 home run. So you got that first home run at least out of the way, off your chest, done and over with. I've seen so many draft picks over the last couple years come in, and they're just overly hedging just for that hit, for that bomb. That's all they want early in the year. It's the same story every year. Just the whole team, it seems like everyone's just hedging, going all out. And then the opposing pitchers are just like, oh, well, they just want to hit bombs and they just want to get hit just to get it done. So they're not disciplined, so I can throw them whatever I want kind of thing. Because again, this is pro ball with professional coaches, with professional tape, with professional equipment and everything. So it's different. 9 RBIs, which is, again, impressive in the limited plate appearances and at-bats. 3 stolen bases, which, again, all things considered, for a hamstring injury and a head injury, still going out there and still trying and not worrying about it. Great again. And then you still posted a .246 average, .338 OBP, and a .742 OPS. Like, the OBP number still stands out. For me, that will always stand out when that's well above that Mendoza line, that league average, especially for this level of it being just around 300, 305. So being well above that, and especially, you know, 6 walks to 11 strikeouts, the strikeout numbers, that's probably that's a career high ratio, you know, for you, which is a 2-1. But again, you're adjusting to pro ball. You're playing, you're coming back and going off to injuries back and forth. So all things considered, you know, you can't complain too much about their results.
Absolutely. For sure.
So your OBP actually for Tri-Cities, I'm looking at the combined, you had a .255, .340 OBP and a .426 slug for a .766 OPS total. 10 strikeouts to 5 walks, 2 stolen bases in the Tri-Cities, 1 caught stealing, 12 hits. So, again, still with 47 at-bats total in 12 games, you only got to play in 12 games. Like, that's still a heck of an audition to say well enough, like, I belong right here. You know, let me show you I can stay healthy, which I'm sure, you know, that's what's next, right? Is
for sure.
A healthy season, bare minimum. Everything else kind of falls into place after that for you.
Definitely.
So coming up, so now your first season's done. You got through it. What was being in Tri-Cities like? Who did you stay with? A host family, with a teammate? Kind of where did you land when you actually got to the Tri-Cities?
Yeah, when I got to Tri-Cities, I didn't really know who my roommate was going to be, and you know, I actually got really lucky. It ended up me and Warner Blakely shared a room. And then our other two roommates were Matt Kootenay, who eventually went to to our low A team to help them in the playoffs. And Roman Fan Soccer, he went to, he either went to double A or he went down to Inland Empire for the playoffs.
I think he went down to Roman or Inland too.
Okay. All right. Then, yeah, those were my four roommates. And I mean, they made it easy on me getting there and really kind of held my hand my first couple days there and told me like what was expected of me, you know, like how the living situation was going to look like. And it was good. It was good. So then had a couple of other teammates that lives like one house down from us, and we would go hang out with them. So I mean, it felt like a brotherhood. So it was,
I love that.
It was easier, like an easier transition than I expected.
I love that. So who was it when you got drafted and you showed up first day? Who was like the guy that was like, yo, Redfield, get over here. Here's your locker. This is kind of what you need to know. Like, who was that person that like kind of guided you the second you got to the ballpark, to facilities and whatnot, to try to show you the ropes?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, all of the minor league coaches like did a good job of that. Juice, our strength and conditioning coordinator for all minor leagues, he kind of held my hand and showed me the ropes and whatnot. And then Alonzo Powell, he's our one of the hitting coaches. He really helped me out quite a bit as well.
I love that. And then what was it like the first time you met Cactus Jack?
Yeah. Oh, it was pretty cool. It was a neat experience. I had heard the name before. He played at the same time as my dad. My dad told me to like tell him. He said, "Hey," and whatnot. So I think they have like an old connection. So it was cool to meet him. He's an interesting guy. I love him. He's awesome.
I just imagine that dude just has such a crazy baseball mind. Like, he loves Tri-Cities baseball. Like,
he does.
I don't see him ever going anywhere, just because even with the offer, I think he just loves being able to develop you guys, work with you guys, especially now, like the last 2 years, he's getting to work with you guys fresh out the draft, you know, where he didn't get that previous seasons. It's like a new energy that comes in. It's a new challenge for all the clubs across minor league baseball, because you got to move guys up, you got to move guys down, or you have to get rid of guys. You can't keep everyone on the team.
Sure.
And it creates, I think it just creates more opportunity for you, the player, because next year, come draft time, if you're having a good season, what's the point in keeping you there at single A or at high A when you got this new draft pick that needs that time and development when you can go and keep developing? So it kind of forces teams' hands to do something, to make those moves, and those have been a big deal. And you also just came in during the first season of the Minor League Baseball Union as well. So I'm sure that's a whole thing, knowing that, you know, you're protected, even if you have a long, and I don't see it happening. I've seen you play. I've seen the bat. I've seen the glove. I've seen the speed. I've seen the legs. I've seen all the tools. I don't see you having a career, minor league career whatsoever. But to know that you guys are just so much better taken care of, your living arrangements are better, your housing's better, you're protected better, your training's better, your pay's significantly better, your opportunity's better, you guys can't be manipulated and kind of used as much. I just think it was great for minor league baseball. And you came in at the – you classified for the draft on the perfect year with everything kind of going on, so –
Absolutely, yeah. My dad, he's told me some horror stories of his time in the minor leagues back in like the late 80s, and it's just changed so much, and I'm really grateful for it. It's a really nice setup, and you know, we're getting treated great.
Yeah, and there's additional, you know, upgrades. I'm sure you've seen or heard about that the city and the team are making to Giza Stadium, to your guys' facilities as
a whole. Yeah,
so those look really cool, and they're all very player focused, player centric.
Nice.
What's your like behind the scenes? Like, what's your favorite part of like the locker room, the dugout? Like, how different is it for you being in a pro clubhouse, locker room, dugout versus your minor league, or not minor league, college, collegiate ones.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting meeting all these different people from all over the world. You know, I mean, we got guys from a bunch of different countries in South America and like the islands and whatnot. But it's really neat to meet all these new people and kind of make new connections. And I've been trying to learn Spanish a little bit so I can communicate a little bit better with our Spanish speakers. And you know, it's been a fun experience that I. You know, you don't get the experience at Sam Houston State or Temple Junior College because, you know, all those guys come from somewhat of a similar background of that you came from. So it's my favorite part has just been getting to meet all these new people from all over the world.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, there's a ton of diversity in the Tri-Cities on that team. I mean, up the middle, just looking around the infield, you had – Werner Blakely, you had Plasencia, you had Vera. First base was shuffled.
It was Kootenay.
Very often. It was Kootenay. Yeah, it was Kootenay.
But he's Canadian, too.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, because I know it was kind of a mess after Gabe got promoted to Double A, which was a year overdue, in my opinion.
Was it?
I don't know if you got to talk to Gabe Matthews or... at all, but I'm sure you will next year. I'm sure you'll see him in Double A at some point. But he's a great dude, fun dude, heck of a ball player. He's just pretty much a Ty France 2.0. That's the perfect pro comp for him because they are basically the same player.
Really?
Yeah, just smooth with the glove, great at the plate, great discipline, not always hitting for a ton of power, but always putting the ball in play, getting on base. Low strikeout numbers, just a solid overall first baseman, holds it down, no worries, just butter. He's just butter on bread with everything
sweet,
he does. So what's next for you? So you've been in the offseason now for about, we're in January, so season ended for you in September. So three and a half-ish, going on 4 months. What does your first pro offseason look like?
So October was interesting because I went to Skill Instructs out in Arizona and, that was an extra month and that was a really fun experience as well. I met a lot of new people there as well, like that weren't in Tri-Cities with me. So that was a cool part of my off season was getting to go there and meet some more people and, develop some deeper connections with some other guys. And, so I got back from that late October and a lot, man, I'd say probably the first month of off season, I just completely stepped away from baseball. It was a long year, played over 100 games and I just wanted to get away from it. I spent a lot of time with my family. I spent a lot of time hunting, and I spent a lot of time with my girlfriend. So those were probably for the first month. That was my life, was just those three things. And then after that, you know, I started working back into baseball. I was lifting every other day, hitting every day, throwing every other day. So, I mean, I've been like gearing back up and whatnot. And I've been doing that for the past month and a half now. So let's see. Not this weekend, but the weekend after, I'm going back to Arizona for like a prep camp for spring training. And then I'm not sure what my report date is for spring training yet, but I'm sure I'll just keep working out about three times a week, trying to hit every day and just try to keep my body as prepared as it can be.
Gotcha. So you don't know yet if you're going straight to minor league camp, if you get an invite to the big league camp. You know, when you find those things out, probably in the coming weeks.
I'd say in the coming weeks, yeah. I'd imagine it would be at this spring training camp that I'm about, like the prep camp that I'm about to go to for a week. Okay. I'd imagine they tell us then, but I'm not sure because we just got out of that new dead period where we can't talk to any of our coaches until the New Year's. So we're getting some information flushed at us now. But
I did not know there was a dead period where you guys couldn't even talk to coaches.
Yeah, this is new. It's just started this year. It started like the week before Thanksgiving, and we it was like a no contact policy until January 1st.
Huh. So I'm guessing like coaches and trainers or strength and conditioning, like I'm just guessing if there's a dead period, they send you your workouts, what they want you doing, specific things like that. Yeah. Or they kind of give you a rough plan of kind of where they want you, what they want to see.
Yeah, and that all happened like pre-dead period.
Okay.
So that happened like mid-November probably.
Okay. So all that, even for high A players like yourself, that's all given. Workout routines, diet plans, those things like that for the off season are given to you, or do you have to come up with some of that, or kind of what's that like? How much of that do you have to do on your own versus how much of that is given to you and like pre-planned and structured for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of it is, it's all on you based off the questions you ask. Like, we have resources. Like, I talked to our nutritionist a lot before I left and asked him, like, hey, if I want to put on so-and-so, like, however much weight, like, what would you recommend my diet look like throughout the day? And he would sit down with me. We'd go over, like, a meal plan, what I need to eat, what I need to eat less of, stuff like that. And so he kind of outlined it for me. And then same with strength and conditioning. Like, you, like, we talk to Juice and say, hey, what do you think my body needs to be more successful next season? What should I work on this off season? What should I try to develop? And we'll go from there. He'll help us come up with a workout. So it all comes down to you asking the questions. They're not just going to pull you out to the side and tell you what you need to do. You got to be a little bit proactive and look out for yourself. So those were probably the two main categories that I like focused on for trying to get advice on and off-season work.
Gotcha. I love that. So this upcoming season, what would you say is like your goal for this season outside of staying healthy? Where do you want to be by the end of the 2024 season? Like, what's your most like realistic path for 2024?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, just like everyone else, I like to make it to the show this year. I think that would be a super cool experience, dream come true. You know, I just want to stay as consistent at the plate as I can. You know, like I mean, my main goal is just try to stay healthy, and with that comes consistency. So I think, you know, I just want to be able to trust the work that I've put in. And I know I've been working hard this off season, and I know it's going to carry over to spring training. And, you know, I want to be able to show how hard I've worked.
I love that. I love that. So now let's do some fun questions just to wrap us up here. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're a busy guy, lots going on. When you go to a ballpark, if you were to go watch a game as a fan, which you probably don't get to do much of, but if you were to go to a game as a fan, what's your kind of go-to snack, your pickup? Like, I got to get this, this, and this, and I'm happy.
Let's see. I love a ballpark dog. Love me some hot dogs, man. I like those. It's like a frozen lemonade. It's almost like ice cream. I don't know how you describe it.
Like a frosted lemonade kind of.
Yes.
Like the kind you get from Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
Which we don't have here in the Tri-Cities, by the way. So hopefully.
I know. I learned it the hard way. I was really looking forward to some Chick-fil-A. But yeah, those are my two necessities.
I love that. Okay. If you could go to any ballpark, let's say you're going to an Angels game, where are you sitting? Where are you out? Where are you at?
Like, if it were my choice of where I could sit?
Yep. They say, Joe, you got dibs on any ticket you want. Where do you want to sit?
Yeah, get me right behind home plate.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Perfect answer. That's the answer. Now, this one might come off as controversial, but I need to know, who do you think is cooler? Eric the Peanut Guy or Dusty the Dust Devil?
Ooh, that's a tough one. But I mean, I have to go with Eric the Peanut Guy. I don't think he might be one of the coolest people I've ever met. Honestly, he's
Eric's an absolute legend.
He is. He is. He's a really cool guy to talk to. I love everything about him, man. He's really cool. He's cool. A hard guy to be cooler than.
Yeah, there's not many people that everyone I've ever talked to about Eric. It's always nicest guy I ever met. I don't know if you've got to talk to his mom. His mom's just as nice. His mom's so sweet, so nice. When my girls and I would go to the ballpark and whatnot, his mom's always saying hi to my kids and just so nice and so easy to talk to.
That's
Eric's
awesome.
Just the coolest dude. I mean,
no, he really is. I've got nothing but respect for him. I really like him a lot. He's a really good guy.
Yeah. A great guy. Oh, let's see. You got your go-to ballpark, where you're sitting, who wins that. Last one here. Who's been like your, in the front office there here in the Tri-Cities, who's kind of been your, like, I don't know how much front office interaction you guys get with the front office, but who in the front office has like really stood out to you or you've gotten to know really well or has been like super just like helpful towards you?
Man, honestly, I didn't really get to meet many people in the front office.
Okay.
Like, I don't think I have an answer for that because I've really only met like our owner and that's about it.
For sure. Makes sense. So now thinking of just the Tri-Cities, I know you only got to spend a few months here back and forth on the road. What's been your favorite part about, I guess, the Tri-Cities and then just as a whole about the Northwest? Because you've got to see all these awesome parts of it. Vancouver, Spokane, Eugene, Hillsboro. Who am I forgetting? Vancouver, Spokane, Hillsboro, Eugene. Everett.
Everett.
So you've got to kind of see all these different parts of the state of Washington, dipping into Canada a little bit. What has kind of been your favorite part of not only the Tri-Cities, but also of the Northwest as a whole? Because I'm guessing it's kind of your first experience up here with the Dust Devils being up in this region of the country.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say the weather for sure. I mean, it's a lot more tolerable than it is down south, especially in the time of year that I got there. With like, I think I got there like late July, and I mean, it was scorching down in Texas and Arizona. So, I mean, the weather it was really ideal for me, honestly. It felt great. That was my favorite part.
It was awesome. Cool. And then, what's your favorite uniform that you put on so far between the Vineros, just the solid home, the classic away? Or the Rooster Tails, which one's kind of been your favorite that you like to rock, even in your spare time?
Oh, Rooster Tails, hands down.
Can't go wrong.
Love the baby blue.
For sure.
So that's
well. Is there anything else? Is there anything else that we should know about you, Joe, going into 2024? We know you're going to be in the outfield. That you and Joe, other Joe, you and Stu play. You guys both play a great center field.
Yes.
You guys are both premier at that position defensively. How is that going to work? Are you going to say, well, one of us has to go to double A because we can't share this field right here? But then if you go to double A, you're going to run into Deshaun because Deshaun's got center field on lockdown there. I don't know if you've seen him play or got to interact with him at all. That dude is he's fast. He's very good.
He's a baller.
He's great. I mean, he's out of the Bahamas. He was there. He's been in our system since he was 16. He was in the minor leagues through the pandemic, coming out of the Bahamas like 3 years in to his career. Like, dude's killing it. I'm so happy that he finally got a call to Double A.
Me too. He's a really good guy.
He's solid. So where do you see yourself lining up this year defensively? Anywhere new you're trying? I know you've played mostly center. I don't know how much of the corners you played this last year, but where do you see yourself lining up, playing the most, or where have you been told that you're going to be taking the most reps?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say center field is probably going to be where I'm going to be at. Just from what I got from skill instructs, they were really trying to hone in on me being a center fielder. But, you know, I'm trying not to worry about that. because that's out of my control of where I'm playing. I'm comfortable playing left field and right field as well. So, okay. You know, wherever they put me, I'm going to be comfortable and I'm going to be able to give it my best effort. I'm trying to stay as carefree about that as I can, because it's, well, you know, it's whatever is in God's will is going to come. So
for sure, man, for sure. And you're great out there in center field, and I don't see how center field doesn't translate to either corner. Maybe it'll be a little bit harder adjusting to reading off the ball because it's not coming straight at you, angling, things like that, route running, but those things can all be learned. I've seen you play. I've seen you ball. You've got the skills. You've got it all together. You have all the tools. And I'm just so excited to see where 2024 takes you. I would imagine, just from me seeing you play, as long as all the other factors, God willing, work out for you, you probably won't be in Tri-Cities to come the end of the year. So if we end up doing this next offseason, I'll get to talk to you a little bit about how Rocket City was, if not even how Salt Lake is. And maybe, if I'm fortunate enough, if you are there in LA, I'll get to hear about what it's like flanking Mike Trout. Come the end of 2024. Absolutely. If not, what that's going to be like projected to flank him in 2025. So
for sure, man, for sure.
So I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the Dust Devils baseball this season. Us in the Tri-Cities, we are definitely ready. It's been a nice, cold, rainy winter. We are all ready for some spring ball down at the Gisa and to watch you guys go out to ball, to interact with you guys. And just see you guys show out. So we're excited. All the fans are excited. We're all behind you guys, and we can't wait to see you guys play.
For sure, man. We're all excited too. We're ready to get back and get off to our affiliates wherever we are, man. We're looking forward to it.
For sure. And then I can't wait to watch reports and whatnot that come out to see where you're going to be come spring. I hope you get to taste that major league camp a little bit, just to rub shoulders with those guys, pick their brains.
Yeah.
Have them tell you, yo, five, or you'll probably be wearing a 96 or something.
Probably, yeah.
They'll be like, yo, 96, you know, read the ball this way. I hope you get to at least go and say hi to Mike Trout. I mean.
I yeah. Yeah, me too. That's I really want to meet him, because, I mean, he's my idol. Like, I watched him growing up. He's the guy that I kind of looked up to just growing up.
That was going to be my final question here, is who was your favorite player growing up and who have you modeled your game after? I think by your position and your skill set, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But any other like influences, obviously your dad, Trout, but any other players that you've really taken pieces of their game, instilled it into yours, or any other favorite players?
Yeah, Christian Yelich. I love watching his swing. You know, I kind of feel like we have similar body types, kind of long and lanky. And I like watching his swing in slow motion. I'll take bits and pieces every time I watch it. So that's a guy that I like to watch swing. I think he's got a really pretty swing. And, you know, I take pieces of his and plug it into mine as I feel needed.
I love that, man. Well, I appreciate your time today. It's been great having you on. It's been great talking to you, getting to know the man that's out there in center field for the Tri-Cities Dust Devils. And I wish you nothing but just an amazing spring. I'm so excited to see you back at home sometime in April for Fan Fest, and then also on the field as well, just balling out
for
there,
sure,
in center,
man.
Field. So,
absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been fun.
It's been great. I appreciate you doing this. And if any of your teammates, you're like, yo, man, let's record this podcast. If you want to send any of your teammates my way, tell them, you know, you can get hold of me on Instagram.
Absolutely.
To all the fans, Dust Devil fans, you heard it here from our man Joe. It's going to be a great season. It's going to be a fun season. They're going to go out. They're going to give us our best, their best, like they have for years upon years now. So we're so excited for you guys. So.
For sure, man. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. All right, I'm going to let the audience clap us out, and then we'll be out of here.
All right. Sounds good.
Never mind the audience.